All right, welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Tuesday, September 19th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. I'm not sure if we have an interview today. I'll have to check. I've done so many recently, I've lost track. But if not today, definitely we have one coming up for you tomorrow. And today's podcast might be a little shorter than usual. I was on the Jonathan Emord three-hour telethon event yesterday afternoon, hosted by Robert Scott Bell. And that went extraordinarily well. Jonathan Emord is a health freedom advocate of the highest order. He's an attorney. He's known as the FDA Dragon Slayer. By the way, he's beaten the FDA 8 times in federal court. And the man has an intellect that is off the charts. And he's decided to run for the United States Senate for the state of Virginia. And believe me, if we get him into the Senate, it's going to be, he's going to be instantly your favorite senator. Even more than Senator Rand Paul, who's also amazing. But Emord's going to be your favorite senator by far because he's super strong on health freedom. He opposes all the mandates, the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates, all the BS. He opposes the very existence of the FDA as it is currently structured, by the way. And he understands how it's all rigged for big pharma. He understands how the vaccine industry is rigged and how it's rigged against dietary supplements and all of this. Plus, he's super strong on the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and the Second Amendment. And, well, pretty much everything the Founding Fathers stood for. So Jonathan Emord is the man to get into the Senate who can make an incredible difference. If you want to help support him, his website, by the way, is Emord, E-M-O-R-D, for VA. That's F-O-R-V-A, which is for Virginia. So emordforva.com. And if you click on the upper right, click the contribution button there, you can make a contribution. And I just want to encourage you. You know, I normally don't come on here and ask you to donate to anybody, really, or nearly anybody. But for Emord, it's also about the number of individuals who make a donation. So if you could find it in your heart even to make a $1 donation or a $5 donation, I mean, even something small, it's about the number of different people who are donating. And that actually registers and it aids Emord in being able to raise additional funds and also to get more participation for speeches and debates and media opportunities and so on. So if you want to help America today and help yourself in the process, go to emordforva.com and donate $5, you know, or whatever you want to donate. I donated $3,300 because that's the limit. And I'm just like, you know what? Money's not going to be worth anything if we lose our constitutional republic. So I'm just going to take as much as I can and help Emord get elected, because what else are we going to do? You know, we got to help good people get elected. And then Sunday, of course, you know, I was monitoring and helping to host, well, I should say the platform hosting the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. event, the town hall, which also went well. And I talked about that yesterday. And so that's, you know, it's, I know that, of course, RFK Jr. is a Democrat and Jonathan Emord is a Republican. And they differ on a lot of other topics, but you know, both of these men are men of honor, and that's something that's really missing in politics today. So I almost don't care what party people are in. If they are men or women of honor, then that counts for me. You know, people of integrity, that's who we've got to help get back in. And when these people have the courage to stand up and effectively sacrifice years of their lives in order to run for office and to take the barrage of defamation hit pieces and smears and slanders and also to live your life with no sleep, no sleep whatsoever. Can you imagine running for president, how little sleep you get? That's crazy. You know, that's a serious sacrifice. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is willing to make that sacrifice. Excuse me. By the way, RFK Jr. said something that kind of angered a lot of people, and then also Trump said something that angered a lot of people. I just want to cover these two things because I kind of failed to mention some of this yesterday. But RFK Jr. came out and said he wants to ban fracking. Now, fracking, as you may be aware, fracking is the technology that injects chemicals underground in order to extract more energy. And it does cause some chemical contamination underground. It does. And it also can cause a lot of small earthquakes and so on. But at the same time, fracking is responsible for a tremendous amount of energy extraction that helps keep energy more affordable for our economy right now, because we're still on a fossil fuel economy. Now, whatever you think of fracking, by the way, the fact that RFK came out and said he wants to ban fracking has definitely made a lot of people not like him, at least people who are in the energy sector, right? And that's a big sector of the economy. And right now, with Joe Biden banning more gas exploration and oil exploration, and of course banning pipelines and so on, gas prices are going up. Energy is getting more expensive. And as energy gets more expensive, food gets more expensive. So if you like affordable food, you probably like affordable energy, whether you realize it or not. But if you like food to get a lot more expensive, then you might like banning fracking, which is what RFK Jr. just said he supports. But again, he's not an unreasonable man in the sense that he has his own thinking process about pollution and about, you know, environmental impacts and so on. It's not like, you know, RFK doesn't say he's going to do something just because he's ordered to do something. He doesn't say anything out of emotion. You can bet that if he announces something or makes a decision, that he has gone through an internal thought process and has arrived at what he believes to be a data-driven conclusion, whether you agree with it or not, or whether I agree with it or not. RFK Jr. can always be trusted to have a rationale for his own decisions. And that's something, again, that's something strong in today's climate of not just, you know, typical Democrat liars, but people who want to destroy this nation. You know, so look, there's no perfect candidate, but at least the people that we're talking about here, like RFK Jr. and Trump, they're not actively trying to destroy this country. Now, let's talk about Trump for a second, because he said recently, and I don't know if I should read you the quote or not, it's just basically he said that the Republicans should compromise on abortion. And it sounds like he is opposed to the kind of the heartbeat laws that ban abortion after a heartbeat is detected. Now, I know there's some debate about what week that is. Some people say it's week 15. Some people say it's week 20 or 21. But whatever that is, Trump appears to be backing away from a pro-life position. And this is angering, of course, the pro-life people, evangelist crowd that, you know, wants Trump to stick to his guns and to say that life begins at conception and that it's always wrong to murder another unique human being, even if it's just a day after conception. However, what Trump is saying is that the Democrats are so incredibly passionate about their, quote, right to murder their own babies, which is what Democrats love to do, that it's going to cost Republicans the election if Republicans don't compromise a little bit. This is what Trump is saying. If Republicans don't compromise on abortion and allow some kind of abortion, like first trimester or something like that. And again, regardless of what you think about abortion, I'm just bringing you this news that Trump is angering a whole lot of pro-life people. And also, and this is a paraphrase, I'm not going to go through the exact quote, but recently Trump was asked by someone during an interview something about, you know, can a man become a woman? And his answer wasn't very good, actually. You know, it should have been, no, of course a man can't become a woman. That's insane. You know, he didn't say that at all. He started talking about, I don't know, it's like gibberish. it's like, well, a man can, some people think that this can be the definition of a man or the definition of a woman. And a lot of people were looking at that like, what? What are you talking about? This is the easiest question in the world. If it's a pop quiz, can a man become a woman? If you want to get an A on that pop quiz, the answer is no. If you want an A plus, it's heck no. I mean, how can you fail that question? So there are some people that are a little bit concerned that Trump is wavering on some of these core issues and that Trump may be trying to shift into a more centrist position, which is a little bit concerning. And I guess we'll just have to watch it and see what happens. Now, meanwhile, RFK Jr. is talking more like a conservative than are many conservatives in the United States Senate. So RFK Jr. wants to protect the border and close the border. And he wants, by the way, nationwide voter ID, which is something that even like Glitch McConnell and other Republicans won't even support. So isn't it a strange time right now when you've got RFK Jr. sounds like a conservative and Trump is starting to sound like a centrist? And what does this all mean? And of course, Joe Biden sounds like a lunatic. So doesn't it beg the question of like who makes the most sense? And according to some people, you know, it's Vivek Ramaswamy or it's Dr. Shiva or some other independent candidate that actually seems to make the most sense on a lot of these issues. But anyway, it's not going to be a boring election season. That's for sure. All right. Now, in other news, you may be aware that the United States Air Force has lost an F-35 stealth fighter jet. It's gone. It's lost. And, you know, a pilot ejected out of it and then it continued on its way and just flew away. And now they have no idea where it is. And in fact, the Air Force has said that if you have sighted the plane anywhere, that you're supposed to, call Jenny at 867-5309. Yeah, that's, if you don't know what that's all about, that was a song from the 1980s. And I'm sorry if you missed the 1980s. It was way more fun than 2023. All right, all jokes aside, the debris of this $80 million stealth fighter has been recovered just north of Charleston, South Carolina, in a field, the media now reports. And they said that this jet, they said the pilot ejected, and I guess it's a United States Marine Corps jet, not Air Force. I got that wrong. U.S. Marine Corps. They've lost track of an $80 million jet. And they say the plane continued to fly in, quote, zombie mode, sparking the Pentagon to ground all models. So now we have a 48-hour grounding of all F-35s. That's not at all suspicious, knowing the history of 9/11 and the stand-down orders and the false flags and all that. The story from the UK Daily Mail says the pilot enabled the autopilot function prior to his ejection, and then they just lost track of it. Now, I don't believe this at all. You know, first of all, these planes have transponders, right? So they're always announcing where they are. And then secondly, you know, there's all kinds of military bases over there near Charleston and the surrounding region, and they're all running radar, and there's air traffic control. You can't tell me that this thing didn't blip on somebody's radar. Like, we can't find it. And it's flying around the skies of America. Does that make you feel warm and fuzzy and secure knowing that there can be a zombie mode fighter plane just flying across America and the entire Pentagon has no idea where it is or what it is or what's up there or where it's going? I mean, this is insane. I guess China's laughing yet again. You know, it's not enough that they're laughing at all the drag queen, you know, U.S. Army recruitment videos. It's just the laughing stock of the world. But now it's like, wow, America doesn't even know what's in its own skies. And they have military planes that fly on their own in zombie mode and then crash. We call this an auto-crashing fighter jet, kind of like a Tesla, but in the air. Auto-crashing mode activated, and then the pilot ejects. Where will it crash? No one knows. But the Pentagon actually put out a call for people. Like, have you seen debris from a $80 million stealth fighter jet? Have you seen any debris anywhere? Anything? Any fireballs? And they put out a hotline number. Like I was joking, 867-5309. And I guess people were calling in. I can only imagine what some of those calls must have been. Can you imagine some rural South Carolina guy drunk on Sunday night dialing the number? Well, I don't know if it's one of them F-35 lightning jets, but something did come out of the sky and it abducted me. And I'm pretty sure there was some anal probing involved. and then they set me back down. So now that's why I'm calling you. And whoever they was ugly looking and they stank. Actually, I think he's just describing like a Democrat fundraising team or something of that kind. But, you know, you can imagine what these phone calls would be like. And how insane is this? Again, I mean, just the mockery of the United States Marine Corps over this, which is sad because the Marine Corps is, you know, arguably the maybe perhaps the most capable branch of the U.S. military. And this is very embarrassing for them. Just lose track of a fighter jet. Anyway, nobody's buying the story. Nobody's buying it. And watch everything for the next 48 hours because this two-day stand-down order appears to be the perfect window to allow an attack on America to take place, doesn't it? Perfect window. Oh, well, you know, we can't fly any aircraft because there's a stand-down order because they might go into zombie mode. You see, the zombie apocalypse is here. You just didn't know it was going to involve fighter jets. It's like, how do they come up with this? Now, by the way, what if this is all a cover story for an actual crashed extraterrestrial vehicle, huh? Like, maybe a UFO really did crash, and they had to hurry up and come up with a story. You know, just to cover it up and have national security barricades and everything so people don't get close to it. And they had to come up with a story. Let's just say that the pilot was flying, and he just ejected, and the plane kept flying. And then the other guy's like, well, what should we tell the public? Like, why would the plane keep flying? Well, let's just say it has a mode where it keeps going by itself. Autopilot. Let's say it's on autopilot. And the other guy's like, I'm not sure people are going to believe that. Well, let's call it zombie mode. Oh, yes, definitely. The public will believe zombie mode. And that's what's being reported. Zombie mode. there's like a little switch on the flight control panel. Click zombie mode. Makes me wonder if U.S. Army tanks have zombie mode. Wouldn't that be something? You just click on zombie mode, and you bail out of the tank, and you're like, there it goes. Like, where's it going? We don't know. It's in zombie mode. Can it fire? Oh, yeah, we switched on the auto cannons also. It's in zombie mode. It's roving the countryside, shooting at random targets. This is what happens when your country goes completely insane. Speaking of zombies and other supernatural creatures, remember that tranny spokesperson that is speaking out for Ukraine, who has been saying crazy, insane things like, we will hunt you down and bleed you dry, or whatever this creature keeps saying. And it's talking about how Putin feeds on the blood of children. It's like this weird, creepy tranny creature. Well, let's see. U.S. Senator J.D. Vance had put out a demand asking if this tranny creepy creature was tied to the U.S. intelligence community. Because everybody's seen these videos like, who is this person? Why is it an American transgender speaking on behalf of Ukraine, seemingly dressed in some kind of mock battle uniform of some kind? Like, who is this person? What the heck is this? So this person then responded to Senator J.D. Vance and accused Vance of, quote, focusing on the tired trope of gender chaos. And it probably issued some kind of a threat, I'm guessing. Let's go through this and see. Oh, yeah, this is the person who said that Russian propagandists will be hunted down. And so in response to that, Senator Vance asked if Ukrainians plan to, quote, kill people who engage in free speech, and asked about the existence of reported kill lists. Because, again, this guy, or this tranny creature, is out there saying that enemies of Ukraine have to be hunted down. Now, by the way, you realize that, you know, if I said that, I would be arrested. If I went public here and said that anybody should be hunted down, you know, any group, any person, any nationality, any skin color, you know, anything like that, which would be crazy, but I would be arrested. I mean, my domain would be erased. Websites would be gone immediately. But somehow this tranny tyrant creature can go online and say, we're going to hunt down enemies of Ukraine. And only Senator Vance has the courage to stand up and say, wait a second, are you going to hunt down and kill people? What are you saying exactly? So anyway, Senator Vance was asking about whether this person has ties to the U.S. intelligence community and whether they're funded in any way by the U.S. A quote that he gave to Breitbart News is, quote, if the Ukrainians want to hire weirdos, that's a pretty nice term, actually, for this tranny creature. Again, if the Ukrainians want to hire weirdos to threaten Americans and others for speaking their mind, I guess that's their right. They shouldn't use our tax dollars to do it. And we shouldn't pretend this is a war for freedom when our supposed ally is threatening violence to anyone who opposes the war. Yeah, really good point, Senator Vance. You nailed it. We're supposed to be fighting for freedom and for democracy, for a country, Ukraine, where Zelensky has canceled elections, where he has outlawed independent media, especially dissenting media, is not even allowed to operate, where the Zelensky regime has assassinated journalists and now has this creepy trans creature threatening people with apparently with being hunted down and killed. And we're supposed to be defending this quote, freedom and democracy. Give me a break. There's nothing resembling freedom or democracy. It's the opposite. It's fascism. It's tyranny. And the American people are frankly getting real tired of putting up with Zelensky. I mean, yeah, we want the Ukrainian people to be at peace, to be free. But that's not going to happen under Zelensky. We want real free elections, both for Ukraine and the United States, come to think of it. And we want free speech for Ukraine and the United States. But all these other shenanigans are just getting to be too much. So then this tranny creature says the following, which of course is the typical projection of what they are doing. They're projecting it onto everybody else. He slash she slash it slash creature says, quote, the Russian propagandists and war criminals who are spreading lies and pushing false narratives are not journalists, the creature says. They are information agents in an extension of the Putin-Prigozhin effort to spread chaos and wreak havoc across the globe. Hey, that sounds exactly like the U.S. empire. That sounds like what the United States is doing. It's exactly what Victoria Nuland is doing. It's exactly what Joe Biden is doing. And it's exactly what Zelensky is doing. Nothing but lies and propaganda and false information to spread chaos and to cause war, to start World War III, for the purpose of trying to destroy an entire ethnic group of individuals and their country known as Russia. And as I've said before, we should find a way to make peace and restore trade. Trade is what makes food affordable. It makes families able to live. Trade is what results in abundance and real security, by the way, and allows people to rebuild their destroyed communities and their destroyed lives. We need to be trading with China and Russia and Mexico instead of declaring war on China and Russia and Mexico, which I talked about yesterday. I forgot to mention, I meant to go into that in more detail yesterday, where the United States, there are Republican senators like Glitch McConnell and others, and also Democrats who want to use the military to attack the drug cartels in Mexico. And I think Trump has even spoken in favor of this idea, which is completely insane. You're going to invade Mexico with the United States military? To what? Hunt down alleged drug cartels? You know, under what rules of engagement? Under what international law? I mean, the Mexican government is not going to give you a thumbs up. They're not going to say, oh yeah, just come on in to our country, bring your military and do whatever you want. No, that's never going to happen. So deploying the U.S. military against Mexican drug cartels would be, number one, an invasion and an occupation of Mexico with the United States military, coincidentally or ironically at the same time that Mexicans, Central and South Americans are invading and occupying America with illegal immigrants. So I guess we're just going to swap trade places, send our military to Mexico and have their illegals come in and colonize Texas. Because that seems to be what's about to happen. How insane is this? And again, what are the rules of engagement? How do you know this person is a drug cartel, you know, mule or employee of the cartels? And are there going to be courts? What are the rules of arrests? What can the military do or not do? Are they going to use missiles? You know, are we going to start launching missiles at Mexican towns? I mean, number one, that's going to interfere with my avocado supply, and I'm not happy about that. Okay, maybe that was a bad joke, but it's true. I do want my avocados from Mexico, the Michoacan avocados, double price because half of the money goes to the avocado cartels, but I don't care. I love them that much. I'm willing to pay double. But if we go into Mexico and just start launching missiles and dropping bombs and running drones, this is going to be absolute chaos. And frankly, Mexico is one of the few trading partners that's still willing to trade with America, at least in U.S. dollars, after the BRICS nations roll out their currency. I mean, you notice America's not making friends around the world. You know, Joe Biden pissed off the Saudis. You know, India's not incredibly thrilled with America. Turkey's not. You know, America destroyed the economy of Western Europe by destroying the Nord Stream pipelines. America's been, you know, running biological experiments on nations in Africa. And by the way, Russia's taken over the influence of a lot of African nations right now, by the way. So America's losing influence there. Who wants to trade with America in the dollar when you can be cut off from the SWIFT system at any time for any reason, when the United States can just invade your country at any time for any reason, just claim whatever? Oh, it's fentanyl. We're going to launch missiles, you know? The U.S. maybe should stop pissing off its trading partners if it wants to have anything remaining that even resembles a functioning economy. It's already going to be bad enough not to have Saudi oil, or at least I should say an abundance of Saudi oil, because Saudi's been cutting back on oil production. Frankly, I have a theory on that. I think the Saudis have decided that they want to make it so painful for the U.S. economy that Biden loses the election. I think the Saudis, and this is just my opinion, I think the Saudis absolutely want Trump back in the White House, or at least a Republican who will be pro-oil. And I think the Saudis are going to restrict supply until Election Day to just squeeze and suffocate, knowing, by the way, that Joe Biden has shut down domestic energy production and pipelines and refineries and all these kinds of things that we talked about before, making it incredibly easy for a foreign nation like Saudi Arabia to squeeze and make it hurt domestically. Thanks, Joe Biden, for letting us be squeezed by the Saudis and then pissing them off. Horrible idea. Horrible idea, but that's just my theory. We'll see what happens. All right, now let's change the topic here. Something I should have approached her sooner. On Breitbart.com, they've got good coverage of this. Here's the story headline. Quote, criminals will run wild. Illinois becomes first state to abolish cash bail. As fears mount. Oh my goodness. So the state of Illinois, this goes into effect. Let me see if I can find the date. I think it's October 1st or coming up. Illinois has literally abolished cash bail for a whole list of criminal acts. So if you're arrested for these criminal acts, then you don't get held in jail and have to make bail. You're just given basically a summons to appear, and you're let loose back on the streets, so that you can carry out more crime. All right, and this includes people, you're not going to believe this, but people who commit second-degree murder, kidnapping, burglary, robbery, and other violent crimes. So the Illinois Supreme Court actually issued a ruling recently that allows this law to take effect, because some law enforcement agencies sued in the state of Illinois to stop the law from taking effect. A judge declared the law unconstitutional, but that was appealed to the Illinois Supreme Court, dominated by libtard lunatics, of course. And they said, no, it's okay. You can just let murderers and robbers and kidnappers and violent attackers back on the streets without bail.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Kirk said, criminals will run wild and cops will have no tools to stop them. Retailers are already fleeing Chicago because rampant theft makes it impossible to turn a profit. So I ask you this question. And by the way, something like this is taking place in LA County as well. I don't know if, I think that goes into effect either today or again, October 1st. I'm not sure of the effective date of this, but it's coming right up. In LA County and now in the entire state of Illinois, there is no reason for people, criminals, to not just burglarize homes over and over and over again. If they get caught, they get hauled down to the police station, they get issued a ticket, and then released. And they go burglarize more homes. They can run around literally killing people and violently attacking people, robbing people. And if they get caught, oh, here's a ticket. We'll see you in 8 months, or probably more like 18 months. Make sure you show up for court in 2026 or whatever. And then they just go on back and commit their crimes. Folks, if you are living in Illinois, listening to this, you are not safe in your own home anymore. I mean, with this now, the law of the land in Illinois, signed by the governor, it's just... And of course, Illinois is a state where you're not allowed to have firearms most of the time. You know, it's a big anti-gun state. So you see what's happening here. I mean, this is all part of the globalist plan to cause chaos across America, all on purpose. It is, hey, let's defund the police. Let's let violent criminals run loose on the streets. And then let's ban citizens from owning firearms for self-defense. That combination equals chaos. Lawless chaos. And it's about to kick in all across Illinois. Can you imagine what East St. Louis is going to look like? Not to mention Chicago, which, of course, every weekend there's 50 shootings that the media ignores because it's mostly black on black crime, sadly. But East St. Louis, it's just going to be a free for all, just a crime fest. Don't drive through East St. Louis. And by the way, guess what's going to happen to property values in Illinois as this criminal rampage? You know, remember the movie series, The Purge? This is pretty much like The Purge all the time, every day across Illinois. It's a purge. You carry out whatever crimes you want. There are no consequences. You just get issued tickets. You know, like parking tickets, which people just ignore those anyway. Can you imagine? But property prices are going to collapse because who wants to own a home or a business or commercial real estate in a state where the criminals are deliberately let loose onto the streets and the police are powerless to do anything to stop them? Who would want to own real estate in that state? And Illinois is in many ways going to be a lot like the West Coast of California or Portland, Oregon or Seattle, Washington, where the only people left behind are those who are just incapable of fleeing. If you live in Illinois right now, you know what? Both Missouri and let's say Indiana are looking like freedom. You should think about getting out while you can. Now, how much you want to bet if you defend yourself with a firearm? Oh, you'll have to post bail. They'll keep you in jail. Maybe for months for that. But if you murder somebody with a gun, oh, no bail needed for you. You're a criminal. You're the special privilege class now in Illinois, the state run by insane, lawless lunatics from Chicago. Folks, get out. I'm serious. Get out while you can. Have you noticed that a lot of Democrats are not liking the consequences of Democrat decisions lately, especially about mass illegal immigration? Have you seen the videos of a lot of residents of Chicago protesting against all the illegals invading and taking over their neighborhoods? Yeah, because the last thing that Democrats want to experience is the consequences of Democrat actions, because they're horrifying. They're insane. But that word doesn't even capture it. They are They're mentally ill. It's as if you live in a world where you think that you don't have to suffer the consequences of your decisions. Like you think somehow you can just export consequences onto everybody else, which is with open borders, for example. They thought, oh, it's just going to be Texas problem. And then, you know, Governor Abbott's like, no, we're going to bus thousands of illegals to New York City and Chicago. We're going to make it your problem, too, which actually is a brilliant strategy just to wake them up to what's actually happening. And it's working, I would say. But can you imagine the consequences now? Oh, and don't forget about that lawmaker in California that had publicly stated that he regrets voting for that, what was it, Proposition 47 or whatever that was a few years ago that legalized shoplifting in California. Yeah, $950 in shoplifting, apparently per incident. You could just go into this store and steal $949, and then this next store steal another $949, and so on. And they won't prosecute you. They won't even stop you. Nobody will stop you. Which is why I keep asking, why are all the thieves hurrying on camera, on the security cameras? What are they in a rush for? Nobody's chasing them. They should just chill out and steal calmly, because there's no consequences for it, right? So, but for society at large, there are consequences. The retailers are shutting down and moving out of California, in particular, in California cities. And it's going to include grocery stores, by the way, because grocery stores can't afford massive shoplifting and theft either. But can you imagine what's going to happen in Chicago, you know, a year from now, when violent crime is just so rampant, so off the charts, and just robberies and burglaries and, you know, assaults and everything that you can imagine, carjackings. And these criminals are like, this is the best place in the world to be a criminal. Like, you know, Illinois should change the signs on the highway when you enter the state. It should say, welcome to Illinois, you know, utopia for criminals. You know, come here and steal to your heart's delight. And literally criminals from all over the country are going to migrate to Illinois. Why wouldn't you? If you can steal with no consequences, I mean, just imagine. No jail time? Really? You can just steal endlessly and just get written tickets? This is awesome, they're going to say. So they're going to come to Illinois. And then, you know, a year from now, you're going to see all these Democrats whose homes are being robbed. All these anti-gun Democrats, like, we can't believe we were robbed and there was nothing we could do. We called 911 and there's no police. It's like, you voted for all that, you moron. We didn't have a gun. Why? Why didn't you have a gun? Yeah, we don't believe in guns. You know, there's a saying, it's like, you get to eat your own dog food. You ever heard that saying? Eat your own dog food. Except in this case, the dog food, it's like the dollar store kibble. It's the nastiest, you know, rancid crap that they scraped off roadkill or something, made it into pellets. But can you imagine these people living in Illinois, voting for Democrats and getting exactly what you vote for and then complaining about it? Oh my, why is there so many criminals? Because you keep voting for criminals. How come we can't defend ourselves? Because you keep voting against the Second Amendment. What did you expect was going to happen? You know, frankly, the entire exercise of being a Democrat is to shut down your brain to such an extent that you cannot project even 1 week later what's going to happen based on your actions and decisions today. And frankly, that's a definition of stupidity. If you can't look into the future and kind of plan out the consequences of what you're doing right now, then you're not very smart. And that is by definition what Democrats are. They can never see down the road the consequences of legalizing violent crime. And how come my house lost all its value? I can't sell my house. How come all the grocery stores have shut down? Well, gee, I mean, where do we even begin? It's almost like you have to take these people back to kindergarten and start the education process from the very beginning, all over again. You know, okay, let's start with integers, you know? Can we count to five? It's, I don't know what to say. Now, the other thing that's characteristic of Democrats is that they, of course, are economically illiterate. And they always want to command everybody to do, you know, follow my orders, do what we say. And they never want to allow free market dynamics to solve any problems because, of course, they despise freedom and they despise markets. So here's a great example of this. This is extraordinary. Okay, Canada threatens to fine grocery stores because of high prices of food. Okay, so again, this is incredible. So speaking at the Liberals' National Caucus retreat in London, Ontario on Thursday, Justin Castro Trudeau said that he expects to hear from them, the largest grocery chains, by Thanksgiving on what their plan is to stabilize prices. And when he says stabilize, he means to lower them. Adding that, quote, if their plan doesn't provide real relief for the middle class and people working hard to join it, then we will take further action, he says, referring to the government. And we are not ruling anything out, including tax measures. So, wait a second. Are you serious that Trudeau is saying that grocery stores, the retailers that operate on virtually no margin, or very thin 2% margins, that it's their fault that food inflation is going up because, of course, the Canadian government keeps printing money and borrowing money, destroying the value of the Canadian dollar and so on, as is happening in the U.S. too. But somehow it's the retailer's fault that food is more expensive. And if the grocery stores don't agree to lose money by lowering, you know, artificially lowering prices to the point where they're losing money to make food more affordable for the public, then the government's going to levy taxes on grocery stores, taxes that would necessitate grocery stores raising their prices to the public on all the goods in order to cover the taxes. I mean, only Trudeau can be this stupid. Well, maybe that's not quite true. There are other stupid Democrats and leftists and liberals, but Trudeau is right up there at the top. I mean, he is really showcasing. This is like a clinic of stupidity right here. He's demonstrating like 5D stupidity. It's like, okay, grocery. I mean, blaming the retailer for one thing is completely insane. The retailers, they don't control the prices that come to them. Food prices are going up because, you know, fuel prices are going up because farming is more difficult because of government regulations. Food prices are going up because farms were destroyed by the COVID lockdowns that Trudeau pushed. You want to know why it's more difficult to afford food? I mean, maybe you shouldn't have locked the whole country down and destroyed farmers and destroyed food facilities and all of that, Trudeau. But now then to punish the grocery stores and to say that if you don't lower your prices, we're going to tax you more, causing you to have to raise your prices more, which will hurt the consumers more. Like, that's insane. That's the definition of completely insane. So here's the thing. In Canada, the Minister of Innovation, Science, and Industry, which sounds like a clown show to me, said in an interview with the CBC that he sent out invitations, these are kind of demand letters, to the CEOs of Loblaw, Sobeys, Metro, Costco, and Walmart, the biggest grocery chains in the country, to attend a meeting in Ottawa to come up with, quote, meaningful action that would reduce price inflation in the grocery sector. People, what? This has got nothing to do with grocery retailers. They're not artificially raising prices, because if they did, everybody would go to the other store. Trust me, consumers need to save money. You can't have one chain that is just artificially raising prices. And we're going to raise prices and everybody, we're just going to take everybody's money. No, you'd lose all your customers. So there's price competition in a free market. Of course, the grocery chains are trying to keep prices as low as they can in order to attract customers. Of course they are. And stupid government ministers come along. Your prices are too high. You're going to have to find a way to lower them. Well how? Can you magically make our inputs cheaper? Can you make electricity cheaper to run the freezers and the lights? Can you make labor costs cheaper to pay the employees? Can you make the wholesale food prices cheaper? Because if you could, then we could sell them more cheaply. But if you can't wave a magic wand, and your ministry of magic, if you can't wave your ministry magic wand and just make all the prices lower, the wholesale prices, then what are we supposed to do as grocery stores? So Trudeau said at a press conference, he said he's attacking the fact that grocery chains are earning a profit. He said, it's not okay that our biggest grocery stores are making record profits while Canadians are struggling to put food on the table. Yeah, said like a true communist. Not okay to make a profit. Well, what are they supposed to do? Lose money instead? Is that what is desired? Of course it is, because Trudeau is a communist, and this is about destroying Canada. So you're supposed to lose money. Well, how long can you lose money and stay in business? Not very long, it turns out. And by the way, this follows the news that we reported, was it yesterday? Or the day before, that Mayor Johnson of Chicago, right? Back to Illinois and the insanity there. Mayor Johnson wants to have government-run grocery stores in Chicago. Why? Because the private sector grocery stores are leaving the city because of the runaway crime, because of the out-of-control shoplifting. And Illinois is about to roll out this whole new no bail situation, which is only going to make violent crime and shoplifting and theft far worse. So Johnson wants to have government-run grocery stores where the losses can be carried by the taxpayers, which, as I explained earlier, I mean, this is straight-up communism. And also, by the way, it's just going to be a free-for-all of massive theft paid for by the taxpayers, because who is going to actually pay for anything in the government-run grocery stores when there are no consequences for stealing? People are just going to walk in there and take whatever they want. It's just going to become basically a grocery handout operation, and I'm sure the selection of fruits and vegetables will be awesome. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. If you're into, you know, plastic display fruit, like fake bananas. What's wrong with these bananas? They're hollow. They're plastic. Yeah, they're just for show, because Chicago is becoming North Korea. But apparently in Canada, now Trudeau wants to do essentially the same thing. He wants to drive grocery stores out of business by forcing them to lose money because, you know, earning a profit is evil in the minds of these communists and socialists. How dare you? How dare you earn a profit? How dare you charge cost plus 2%? For groceries, because Trudeau would rather that the people of Canada have nothing to eat rather than pay 2% over cost for food. So according to Carl Littler, the senior vice president of public relations at the Retail Council, which represents Canada's biggest grocery chains, he says it's the government's policies that are causing this problem. Policies such as the growing carbon tax, which sounds like something Trudeau would push, which costs farmers and affects food distribution, and also limiting the use of plastics that keep food fresh. And it's these factors and others that are contributing to rising prices. He says, quote, if they don't look at what's below the surface and what's actually driving food prices, then it's not going to be a very helpful exercise, he says. So look, the government is to blame for inflation because it's the government with their central banks that keeps printing money, which is devaluing, of course, the currency, and it's making the prices of food items much, much higher. So if you can't afford to eat, blame the government's money printing. But instead, the government points the finger at the retailers. It's the grocery chain's fault. And this is exactly what corrupt government does. They blame everybody but themselves when they themselves are causing the core problems. And in the United States, as you well know, there are, in fact, government-funded sabotage teams, black ops teams, that carry out sabotage against various food facilities across the United States. We've covered this extensively. And do you recall how something like I don't know, it was 12 or 15, I forgot the number, but recycling plants have been blowing up and catching on fire all over the United States over the last few months for some reason. It's the strangest thing. And here we go out of the Georgia Record. Breaking: massive explosions in Columbus, Georgia. Possible factory explosion. Says the event appears to be at Radius Recycling. Large flames and smoke can be seen coming from behind the Schnitzer plant, which is a steel recycling plant. Explosions seem to be located near 712 10th Avenue, Columbus, Georgia. Massive explosions from a possible factory fire rocked Columbus this evening. Development comes in a long string of infrastructure, factory fires, and explosions over the last year across the United States. The Biden administration has been silent on this issue. The fires in California, Canada, and Maui have also been very suspicious. So this website is georgiarecord.com if you want to read about this. That's all they've published on this so far. But, you know, again, here we go. This is the sabotage of U.S. infrastructure. The number of fires and explosions that we have seen over the last couple of years under the Biden regime are not normal. This is obviously being engineered. This is all being done on purpose to take down the infrastructure that creates a supply chain for everything that matters, for food, for energy, you know, gasoline, transportation, vehicles, you name it. Oh, and by the way, your vehicle supply chain is going to crater because of the UAW strike that's now underway, continuing. And why are all the workers going on strike against the auto manufacturers? Well, because they can't afford to buy food because of all these policies of the government and the massive money printing and price inflation. So, you know, this is a spiral of doom. It's not going to end well. And by the way, a lot of people think that banking is in real trouble. I happen to agree with that. I think we're going to have more bank failures before the end of this year. In fact, I'm certain of it. And this global debt Ponzi scheme pyramid is at some point going to implode. We don't know when that is, but whatever you have remaining in fiat currency just sitting there in a bank, you're going to kiss it goodbye for the most part when that day comes. You know, the big bank bail-ins or the freezes or the collapse and abandonment of the currency itself. In fact, I always forget to plug our sponsors. Today's sponsor is the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. And if you want physical gold and silver, if it's right for you, you can't beat this company with its very competitive pricing. It's online pricing. You can check it in real time. There's no bait and switch. You get insured guaranteed delivery in your hands, or they also support silver IRAs that are IRS compliant. So you can take your entire IRA and you can shift it into silver. Again, fully IRS compliant. It's vaulted silver. It's insured. And it's in one of the best vaults that probably exists in North America, by the way. And then you'll have access to it, you know, according to the IRA retirement schedule. And I think silver prices are very suppressed right now. Now, you know, I'm not in favor of speculation, and I don't encourage people to buy gold and silver to speculate. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, silver is going to go to $100 an ounce. My point is that gold and silver tend to preserve assets. As other assets collapse, fiat currencies, which are collapsing every day, and as banks collapse, and we've seen throughout history, all kinds of currencies of other nations, Venezuela, for example, collapsing and going to close to zero, gold and silver have always held value. So I see gold and silver as just an insurance policy against collapsing fiat currencies. And by the way, Robert Kiyosaki, who I interviewed not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, he absolutely agrees. And he thinks that silver is the best thing to hold right now. And also, I'm interviewing John Perez coming up here real soon, and that's his view as well. It's the view of many very informed people, not to speculate on silver and gold, but rather just as a store of value to not lose assets as the paper currency of the world burns down, or the debt Ponzi scheme burns down. So if you want to get gold and silver, go to metalswithmike.com. That'll take you to the Treasure Island website. Don't take this as financial advice. Do your own research. I'm not your financial advisor. There is price risk, obviously, in gold and silver. But the real risk, in my view, with 100% guaranteed loss of some amount, is in fiat currency. Like, gold and silver may go up or down or up or down, but over time, they just keep going up and up and up against the dollar, because the dollar is going down, down, down. Dollar's lost, what, 97, 98% of its value since the beginning of the Federal Reserve, and I forgot how much since 1971, almost 95%, I think. The dollar is going to go to essentially zero. Gold and silver are going to hold value. So if you want a guaranteed loss, keep holding dollars. If you want to prevent loss, precious metals is something you should look at. Metalswithmike.com. And by the way, you know, I've talked about this publicly, how I've been getting out of the banking system into gold and silver and crypto. And I feel very confident to be in those three things. And if anything, if I were to buy something more right now, I would probably buy silver. And even the word buy isn't exactly correct. It's more like, you know, it's kind of like escaping Chicago and getting out of Illinois and into Missouri, the land of the free. That's kind of the same thing as escaping fiat currency and getting into silver or gold, because now you have real money. Just like you got out of Illinois, you got to Missouri, you have real freedom in Missouri compared to Illinois. So there's going to be a day where you can't do this anymore. And also, there's going to be a day where everybody panics because another bank failure kicks in, which could happen any day. And then the premiums on silver, which are right now in the sub $3 range per ounce, very, very low premiums. That's how much you pay over spot price. Those premiums in March of this year, they were $15. Now they're less than $3. Those premiums are going to go back up to $15. Yeah, as soon as the banks start to crater, you're going to see it again, because it's so predictable. So predictable. Anyway, that's just my take on it. Hey, I want to play a video for you. I hope we can find this video and play it for you. This is protesters in New York City who are protesting Ocasio-Cortez, or Occasional Cortex, as she's called, for her open borders policies, because now these illegal immigrants are, of course, taking over New York City. Mayor Eric Adams already went out there, and he said that illegals are going to destroy this city. Just like, that's it. They're going to destroy the city. Yep. And so AOC comes out and tries to, and Jerry Nadler, they try to have a press conference. This was actually a couple of days ago. I want you to hear the level of anger, and we'll have to bleep out maybe a couple of words of profanity, but the level of anger among New Yorkers who themselves are fed up with the illegal immigration. Again, this is what happens when Democrats have to live in their own dog food, or in their own feces, I guess, when they have to live with the consequences of their own policies. This is what happens. Take a look. Love that gal there wearing the Let's Go Brandon hat. and filming, just laying it out. I tell you what, these New Yorkers are now 100% aligned with what I've said this whole time, which is that, yes, I support legal immigration. And you saw a person holding a sign there, legal and vetted immigrants only. Like, we're not anti-immigration. We just think that immigration should be orderly, legal, and that we get to choose who comes in and who doesn't, so that we can say no to all the criminals and all the child traffickers and pedophiles and, you know, all the people the Democrats want in because they share their values of fascism and socialism and communism. We should say no to those people. Now, there's Jerry Nadler saying, you know, immigration makes America strong. You know, he's trying to obfuscate, obviously, legal immigration and illegal immigration. No, illegal immigration does not make America strong. It makes America lawless. And it destroys American cities, which is exactly what's happening and what Mayor Eric Adams has spoken about quite passionately about New York City. And so illegal immigration is a weaponized vector of occupation and invasion of the United States of America. And even New Yorkers are getting totally fed up with it. Well, let me ask you this. Given that the Darien Gap is still wide open and millions of migrants are being shuttled across the gap, across Panama and then Costa Rica and then into Mexico and the United States every year, millions. How bad do you think this is going to get in the next year? It's going to get a lot worse than what it is right now. Now, the collapse of the U.S. empire is accelerating, and it is now strongly influencing the ability of the U.S. to even wage war. Now, we published an article on Natural News a couple days ago. Here it is. Russia significantly increases production of tanks and munitions despite Western sanctions aimed at undermining the country's military industry. This is really important to understand. This almost should be the headline today. A senior Western defense official said that Russia's annual tank production has doubled, with the ability to now manufacture 200 tanks a year, up from 100 before the Ukraine invasion. First of all, those numbers are not even correct. They're way higher. Russia can manufacture far more than 200 tanks a year. In fact, I quoted a video like a week or two ago that was talking about Russia's ability to churn out 200 tanks a month. But I don't know if that meant, you know, upgrades to the T-72s in that. So maybe it's 200 tank upgrades and some new tanks. It wasn't all new tanks, but 200 enhanced tanks per month, and with some number being new. That's a massive number. But anyway, regardless of what you think that is, Western experts estimate that Russia is on track to produce a staggering 2 million artillery shells annually, which is twice the pre-war estimates. 2 million shells annually. And remember how over the last year and a half or so, we've been told by the Western media, oh, all we have to do is wait for Russia to run out of ammunition. They're almost out. They're running out any day now. They're going to have to surrender because they run out of ammunition. Again, projection. Because guess who's running out of ammunition? Well, of course, Ukraine and NATO. The United States is running out of ammunition. Russia is actually cranking out more ammunition. From the story, this boost in production has resulted in Russia surpassing both the United States and Europe in ammunition manufacturing capacity. It's going to take several years for the West to ramp up their capacity while Russia is doing it right now. Now then, there was also, importantly, an article on the Gateway Pundit a couple days ago by Paul Saran. And in this article, it talked about the cost per artillery round. This is really important to understand also. The United States spends $5,000 to $6,000 to make one round of artillery. That's a lot of money for one round of artillery. Let's say it's 155 millimeter shell, or as they say, the 155s. You know, it's got the outer casing, it's got the cotton linters, it's got the gunpowder, and it's got the projectile. And, you know, most of these projectiles are not sophisticated. They're just explosive projectiles that explode on impact and you know, whatever. Like standard artillery rounds. The U.S. spends $5,000 to $6,000 per round. Well, how much does Russia spend to make the same artillery round? Answer, $600. $600. So Russia can make 10 shells for the same cost that America expends to make one shell, one round. So is it any wonder that Russia is able to out artillery, you could say, the West by a factor of 10 to 1, which is roughly, that's the case on the battlefield right now. For every 10 rounds that Russia is firing in artillery, Ukraine is firing one round in return. It's about a 10 to 1 ratio. And by the way, artillery is largely what determines outcomes in land engagements. It's the number of artillery rounds that you can fire, it's the range of the artillery, and it's the mobility or maneuverability of mobile artillery units in addition to the fixed, you know, towed artillery, which are the bulk of them. But if you can fire 10 times as many artillery rounds, you're going to extract potentially 10 times as many casualties from the other side. And this is why there are so many casualties being experienced by Ukraine in this war. According to at least Russian sources, the counteroffensive so far has produced 71,000 casualties of Ukrainian soldiers. That's dead and wounded. 71,000 in about 3 months. Most of those casualties are artillery casualties. So what happened to America's plan to destroy Russia's economy so that Russia couldn't even function as a war machine? It was supposed to cut off Russia's supply chain, you know, cutting off Russia from the SWIFT system and the dollar and cutting off Russia's trading partners and so on and so forth. Well, it didn't work. Didn't work. Russia built its own domestic supply chain. Russia's steel industry has expanded. Russia's domestic energy supply has expanded. Russia's domestic manufacturing and drone manufacturing and heavy equipment, artillery unit manufacturing domestically has massively expanded. And they're building drone factories right now, 10 of them reportedly, that soon are going to be cranking out drones in massive numbers. Again, I've said this before, Russia in 2023 is like what the U.S. represented in 1945, which was the industrial giant of the war. Well, today, Russia is the industrial giant of the war. And frankly, China is the industrial giant of the world. But in terms of this conflict, which in which China is not directly involved, Russia is able to outproduce the West by far. Now, we saw NATO commanders just in the last few days come out, or NATO leaders, I don't know their exact titles, come out and say, well, if we go to war with Russia, we're going to be able to recruit 3.5 million soldiers across Europe. Really? 3.5 million soldiers with what artillery? Where's your artillery coming from? What are you going to do with 3.5 million soldiers who have no ammunition, who have no tanks? Because are there, who's got tanks? Who's got a whole bunch of tanks sitting around, you know, other than perhaps India, which has mostly Russian tanks, by the way, but I don't think India is going to hand over all their thousands of tanks. I mean, yeah, Poland's got some tanks. Poland's got some troops. Poland's probably the strongest. But Germany, I mean, the industrial base of Western Europe has been destroyed by the United States and its war on Nord Stream and the cutting off of energy and also the foolish financial policies of the EU and the out-of-control bureaucracy of the EU. Western Europe is no longer a manufacturing hub of the world. Neither is the United States. Russia is able to manufacture, what was the number? 2 million artillery shells a year at only $600 a shell, which means that Russia can fight this war economically, whereas the West is going to have to print trillions of dollars and add to its debt burden in order to produce these shells at 10 times the cost, with having only one-tenth the amount of artillery in the field versus Russia. So again, I asked the question to the NATO leaders, 3.5 million people, really? I mean, first of all, you can't do that without conscription. So what are you going to do? Just draft a bunch of Europeans who don't want to fight in Ukraine and just push them into a war without adequate weapons into the Russia artillery meat grinder machine? Really? How's that going to fly? And the answer is, it's not. NATO's living in a delusional fairy tale land, running on pipe dreams. They're still imagining that this is post-World War II. It isn't. Even the U.S. Pentagon, which can't even keep track of its zombie mode stealth fighters, they think that they can beat Russia in a war? In a land war? Where's your artillery coming from? Seriously, you know, even if the U.S. builds these factories that are currently in the planning stages, it's going to be, 2026 probably until they can get any of these really online to produce more munitions. And then where are they going to get the raw materials for that? Where are they going to get the labor for that? And eventually the ability of the U.S. to keep printing fake fiat currency, that comes to an end and probably at least potentially before 2026. We don't know for sure. But at some point, you can't just keep printing new debt in order to fund your war machine, especially if you're at war with China and Russia and Mexico. You've lost all your trading partners. China will be selling off all the debt it holds of U.S. treasuries, and so will most other countries around the world, and the BRICS system will be up and running, and if you piss off Mexico, you won't have them as a trading partner. The Saudis will be long gone. It's going to be the U.S. isolated, not Russia. The U.S. will be an economic island, basically embargoed by the rest of the world, including its own local trading partner, Mexico. And if China cuts off exports to the United States and takes over Taiwan and the semiconductors there, the U.S. becomes, again, the U.S. will be an embargoed nation with virtually no remaining trading partners other than Trudeau. It's like, yeah, what can we get from Canada? More debt. Yeah. Communism, you know, thanks Trudeau, and maple syrup. But I'm not mocking Canada. I'm mocking the leadership of Canada, by the way, just to be clear, for those of you listening from Canada, we love the people of Canada. We hate the leadership of Canada, which I'm sure you feel the same about us in the States as well. But the bottom line is we can't wage a war against Russia and China, and we can't even outproduce Russia in terms of artillery. Our naval vessels barely function. Our F-35s just have a mind of their own, and they just randomly crash in fields. You know, it's a clown show. You know, we've got drag queen recruiting videos for the army. It's like, oh, you want to wear high heels and makeup and join the army and just be gay in the with a rifle? I mean, what is this? It's a joke. It's an insult. It's a mockery of what the United States military used to be. Believe me, Russia isn't running drag queen story time recruiting videos for their soldiers. Russia doesn't train their soldiers to be gay and trans and to cut off their balls and have gender-affirming surgery and not have to fight in the front lines. You know, a Russian soldier that even brought that up would probably be literally hanged to death. I mean, it would be, or brutally beaten to within an inch of his life. I mean, you don't do that in the Russian military. The Russian military trains people to be men, to be fighters, to be trained killers and intelligent operators of equipment. In the United States, we're training military people to be gay and trans and inclusive and drag queens. And there's just no question that that is destroying the morale and the effectiveness of the United States military. If the U.S. tries to go into war with Russia, there's no question in my mind that the U.S. military will be resoundingly defeated. In fact, I don't even think the U.S. military could beat the Mexican drug cartels, because the drug cartels are also better organized, and frankly, they have better armored vehicles than does the United States. I mean, the U.S. military is like, we have Bradleys, man. We have armed Bradleys. Well, take a look at my macho puto Land Cruiser, man. You know, I mean, the Mexican drug cartels have armored up vehicles in a way that the U.S. military can't even fathom how to do that. And by the way, with this whole new vaccine coming into existence now that Governor Hochul calls it out of New York, how much you want to bet there's going to be a new outbreak and there's going to be a new push for another round of vaccine mandates in the military, which is designed to kill people in the military. This is a real life conspiracy to destroy the United States military and the American people, along with all the other things that are going on, you know, the engineered social chaos and letting the criminals run loose on the streets and shutting down the infrastructure of food and energy and all these other things. But they want to destroy the United States military at the same time so that the U.S. can't defend itself against an invader, whether that's illegal immigrants or, you know, communist China, People's Liberation Army, whatever it is. They don't want America to be able to defend itself, all by design. And remember, Joe Biden is the third term of Barack Obama, and Barack Obama is a treasonous traitor who from day one began to dismantle the United States of America in the hopes of utterly destroying it because it was in the way of the globalists that want total global control, you know, global disarmament of civilians, global control over speech, which is what the WHO is pushing right now, total control over every health narrative. And Barack Obama is, you know, part of that agenda, as you well know. So if U.S. leaders were smart and if they actually wanted to save America, they would negotiate peace with Russia and they would negotiate peace with China and they would work with Mexico, the Mexican government, to try to stop the illegal immigration, stop the human trafficking and drug trafficking at the border. But instead, we have wide open borders. And we have a complete geopolitical insanity, of course, at the highest levels of our corrupt occupying regime in power that did not even win the election in 2020. As you well know, they stole the election and they have weaponized their stolen election to destroy the United States of America, and every day they are making progress on toward that goal. And the typical oblivious American still has no idea what's happening, but more are feeling the pain each and every day. And as a result, a few more each day are waking up and saying, why does this suck so bad? Like, why is food unaffordable? Why is crime so insane? Why are there tent cities all over the place? Why is our city being overrun by illegals? And other similar questions. Why is it not safe for my children to play at the local playground? Why is my child's teacher dressed like a drag queen, demon? Or why are young athletes dying all of a sudden everywhere, all over the place? And fitness experts just dropping dead. What's going on here? So more people are at least waking up and starting to ask some of the questions. And that's a start. I don't know if it's in time or if we're too late, but can you imagine being someone who's only now getting red-pilled? Think about how much you know, how much I know. I've been doing this for 24 years, 20 years plus at least. Imagine how much you know from all the years that you've been researching and learning and using discernment and intelligence. And then compare that to somebody who's just now coming on board and getting red-pilled. And they're like, hey, we finally realized that something is fishy about Building 7. Oh, really? That was 22 years ago. You're just now figuring that out? It's obviously controlled demolition. Well, you know, hey, welcome to the club. You got some catching up to do, Jack. You got 22 years of backlogged truth that you need to get a hold of and digest. You're going to need some probiotics with that one. All right, with that said, drink some more cod liver oil, folks. It's good for you. We don't sell it, but I do consume it, by the way, because it's so good for you. You can support our store, shop at healthrangerstore.com. Check out our number 10 cans of freeze-dried food. Those are very popular right now. Freeze-dried, organic, lab-tested fruits and vegetables. These are the things that are normally missing from people's, you know, storable food supplies, by the way. We've got all those, plus the superfoods, nutritional supplements, chlorella, spirulina, astaxanthin, microalgae, all available at healthrangerstore.com. Plus, we've got, of course, our fragrance-free, very carefully formulated body soap. We've got dishwasher detergent, laundry powder, super safe, environmentally safe ingredients, no toxic fragrance crap, as you know, because I hate fragrance chemicals. I don't allow anything to be sold in my store that has any artificial fragrance in it whatsoever. So if you're sensitive to fragrance, you're going to love shopping at healthrangerstore.com. Plus, we have a lot of other items, you know, various water filters and iodine and things for preparedness. So check that out, and we appreciate your support. Also, I just want to mention as a side note, for the last several weeks, I've been recording now on the Rodecaster Pro product made by Rode, R-O-D-E, and it's been working great. I haven't had any glitches at all. As you know, I had a Tascam recorder that kept glitching, and I had a Zoom recorder that kept glitching. The Tascam would just randomly reboot, and the Zoom would drop out fractions of audio, which kind of defeats the purpose of recording audio. Normally, when you record audio, you think you're going to record all of it, not just most of it, but here's some pieces missing. That's what Zoom does. And Tascam just randomly reboots right in the middle of your recording. Well, Rode has been perfect so far, and it's got all these effects, like, what is it, like telephone effect and reverb effect, you know, different robot effects, stuff like that. So it's actually been working. So I'm definitely recommending it at this point. If you're looking for a reliable recording device or a podcasting device, this is working for me. It's the Rodecaster Pro. So anyway, I'll keep you posted on everything that I use, when it works or doesn't work, and what I think about it. And I'm also really loving these $17.91 leather holsters, by the way, that are formable holsters. You put it in a plastic bag, you put it in hot water, and it becomes pliable. Even though it's leather, it's got this pliable poly component sandwiched in between the leather, and then you can form it around your gun. And so it fits almost every pistol. It's really amazing. And in fact, we've invited the founders, or at least the current CEO of the 1791 Gun Leather Company. They're coming on for an interview, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to ask them how they came up with this. This has solved so many problems with holsters, because I'm someone who keeps breaking the Kydex holsters. I'm just constantly breaking holsters, it seems, because, well, I wear a gun all the time, and I'm active. I'm active on the ranch, you know. The other night, in fact, Sunday night, I was using the hoof boss tool, and I was grinding hooves of two goats. I did two goat grinding, and I don't know if you know this, if you've ever worked on goat hooves, but, you know, of course, goats have four legs, and each leg has two hooves, you know, like two halves of the hoof. You know, hooves are like half and half, like part A, part B together on one leg. You know what I mean? That's probably not the right way to describe that, but you get the idea. The point is, on every goat, there are eight hooves to grind, in essence, because they're half hooves. So I ended up grinding 16 hooves on two goats, okay, if that makes sense. And grinding hooves on goats is hard even when the goats cooperate. When the goats do not cooperate, it is a very difficult task. And one of the goats, I was grinding the hooves on her, she had never experienced this before, and she was not happy about it. It's like, what are you doing to my hooves? With this spinning machine, that feels weird. She's freaking out, trying to hold on to her, trying to grind her hooves without, like, accidentally cutting us both with the tool, you know? So my point is, I'm active. You know, I'm moving grain around. I'm dealing with animals. I was interacting with my donkeys today, trying not to get trampled by one of them, because she wanted to have her rump scratched so desperately, she practically runs over me now. She's like, scratch my rump, scratch my rump. And she weighs, you know, like 800 pounds. It's like, I'm like, okay, okay, chill out. I'll scratch your rump, you know? She does. She likes to have her rear, like, hip area just scratched hard. Like, I found that the best way to do that is to literally take out my keys and grab a fistful of keys and just, like, scrape it hard, because donkeys have very thick skin, and they, to scratch a donkey takes like a handful of keys, actually. But in all this activity, I'm always breaking holsters. And so anyway, these 1791 gun leather holsters, and they're not a sponsor. They didn't pay me to say this. I'm just a customer. Their holsters are the first holsters that I've had that seem to be unbreakable. I mean, there's just nothing to break on them. There's no Kydex pieces and screws to fall out. They're virtually unbreakable. And if anybody's going to test that, it's going to be me. Trust me. If I can wear this for a year and it still hasn't broken, it deserves an award. So anyway, that interview is coming up, plus some other fascinating interviews. It's going to be an interesting week. So stay tuned. Oh, in fact, I'm seeing my notes here. Yeah, I'm doing that interview later today. So maybe you'll hear that interview tomorrow. Could be interesting. So anyway, thanks for listening. We appreciate your support. Stay informed. Share this with others who you think might find value in it. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. God bless you all. God bless America. Let's see if we can get through this together. Take care.